How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
You coming?
T-Mills in the hole!
There you go.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
Ah, it is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old dirty show, T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, have the latest. And the latest is we're getting you ready for the Astros. The Astros are going to try to win game two, and they probably get going here at about 5:45 before we get off the air here. But they are looking to try to take game two after the debacle of Mike Burrows. We'll get to that in just a second. Imai is going to get the ball tonight, and we'll give you the lineup and get you completely set up for that. But there were some roster moves made earlier today, and the big one is Mike Burrows. Clint, Mike Burrows has been optioned to AAA. We're going to get into more about Mike in just a bit. But he's been optioned. The reliever, Santa, if you remember him, he is back up for now. Before we get a little deeper with Mike, in your opinion, one, I think we all agree this had to happen. Two, Clint, who in your mind do you see, and what does the rotation look like in terms of replacements for Mike Burrow?
Well, I mean, immediately it's got to be Christian Javier because he's already in the bigs. Yeah. He's in the bullpen. He's on the roster. He's waiting. You know he's ready. The other guys are all still rehabbing. And now you wonder, is Lance McCullers and Ronel Blanco, how close are they going today in Sugarland or tonight in Sugarland? How close are they? Is this one of multiple? Is it the – I don't know exactly where they are in that rehab stint. I guess we'll tell how long – Lance goes tonight, but it's got to be Christian Javier. I mean, when you look at, yes, it's been a struggle, and it was a struggle the little bit of run he got out of the bullpen since he's been back. But at the end of the day, we're not in a position where we can be real picky about who gets this run. We know it doesn't need to be Mike Burrow. He is out of that cat had nine lives and they're all spent. At the end of the day, Christian Javier, the stuff, the ability, the potential, along with the fact that he's been in some monster moments as an Astro, you got to lean into that experience right there. So I got to believe that I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know that any of these options are great options given where we're at in the season, but I got to believe that the smartest option right now is Christian Javier. And I don't even mean just the fact that he's available, but I just mean because of what he put, the ceiling and the experience, the stuff, the sample size. I think you got to see what that offers before you go elsewhere.
You want to take a deep breath here?
What happened? Christian Javier.
Oh, God.
Christian Javier back to the IL.
Brian McTaggart. Dana Brown said that pitching prospect Ethan Petko is an option to join the rotation in Burrow's place.
So he's going to leave Javier out there? Okay.
I mean, along with Ronel Blanco, who pitches a rehab game. We'll get to that in just a bit today in AAA. Petko was the PCL pitcher of the month for June thus far. He is currently is 3-5 with a 4.30 ERA over 15 minor league appearances. 14 of them start.
Well, I mean, look, Ron, let's not get too picky here. We just want
started
you to,
in favor.
We just want you to move off Mike. You move off Mike. If you tell us this is the option, okay, let's see what they got. But we've got multiple options if this doesn't work. We just got to move. Baby steps. Let's move off Mike.
I know baby steps. Can we also baby step this thing into not getting complicated and just
that,
run
no, that's impossible.
Christian Javier?
You're being greedy, man.
That's impossible.
Is that not possible?
That's impossible.
This season is so maddening.
Again, now I will say I think Ethan Petko may be another person that is also positioned in front of Mike before Mike gets himself back onto the mound. But just interesting that Dana would run that out there. So that is the latest there with that move. We'll talk more on Mike Burrow and him going down to AAA Sugarland. But also, as you kind of alluded to there, and Dana said in that statement, Infielders Jeremy Peña, Ronel Blanco, as he said, and Lance McCullers are all scheduled to make rehab appearances with the Space Cowboys tonight. So you might want to go out there and check out them tickets out there in Sugarland. But they're all scheduled to come back. One, that's good news for Jeremy Peña. As they said, they thought that this may be a quick, short stint. And the fact that he's already not just in, but getting into Sugarland AAA games, right? That's a really good sign already. And then Blanco and McCullers now in AAA as well. And these are multiple starts in the minors that these two have made that makes sense to potentially go up, as you said, more options for them to kind of fill whatever role, from starter to also that long reliever.
Well, we started the day with potentially four options, and now we've got five with this new Petco kid.
Just let him just have his AAA season.
What's his name?
Ethan.
Ethan, is it really Petco?
Yeah, I think so. P-E-C-K-O.
Oh, Petco. Okay. I thought you were talking about Petco.
Not Petco.
Company where you take you.
Peck. Yeah. Not Petco, get you a
fish when you're... I'm glad my kids quit asking for that.
Yeah, I'm glad they did too for you. That's where we are. Just don't overcomplicate this thing. I mean, Christian has to get the next start, right? Just the next one.
It would make a lot of sense. You don't have to make any moves to get him there.
He's stretched out.
Yeah, Let's go. He's ready. Yeah, right there.
Don't be a knucklehead.
5 o'clock fire.
But Imai, he gets the ball tonight, and he's coming off of a bad outing, and an outing in which he did not last in the game very long. And they need a big start from him tonight, right? That you want to win, keep stacking these series. They've won 6 of 7, they need to win tonight to give them a chance to win this series. And you would hope that Imai has had a bounce back. Now, Clint, I do think here recently, and when I say recently, since he returned from whatever arm issue that was, overall he's been better. He's just got three just really bad performances where he's not making it out of the second inning, out of the first inning. But the previous two starts before this one, a man struck out 20-plus.
Yeah.
Double-digit starts, strikeout. So you just really need a level of consistency and just some damn middle ground at least, man. Like something to where you don't just – You don't give your team a chance to win, and that's what he's done a few times here lately.
Well, this is still one for me, Ron. This is appointment television for me with him still.
Yeah,
and part of the intrigue is how bad it might be, but really, I'm still trying to decide if I like this cat and got confidence in this cat or not. Just long term, you know. I mean, I understand it right now. It's inconsistent to say the least. But it's a fascinating watch, man, to see what can come of it. So I'm still there with him, though, even though I need him to keep trending in the right direction.
Yeah, we'll see if he can, man. I mean, like you said, man, he's shown he's got stuff. That the slider and multiple ways he throws it gets people, and it has become a real good strikeout pitch. I mean, You just can't have, man, every 2-3 starts you ain't gonna make it out of the second.
Yeah.
just can't have that. That's to me why Mike is up out of here. All right, the lineup behind him, Jose Altuve leading off, Yordan is the DH, Paredes behind him, Christian Walker, Cam Smith. Zach DiCenzo is in left field tonight with Bryce Matthews in center field. Nick Allen is the shortstop with Christian Vasquez catching tonight with Imai. So that is the lineup for the Astros.
Must have a big righty on the bump on the bump in Washington.
Yeah, right handed strong, huh?
That is
no,
correct.
it's gotta be a lefty.
Andrew Alvarez.
The lineup is real righty strong. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Makes sense. All right. Well, we'll see if they can get back in it here as they get going. And by the way, make sure you listen to Area 45. They've got baseball tonight right after the game, and they'll take you down for that post game coming up later on.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, Clint. The U.S. kind of put a damper on things with their loss last night as they lose 4-1. I am curious your thoughts and many others. Do you think we will remember the run the crowds that surrounded Team USA in this run, or do you think we're going to remember the dud of how it ended? Like I think right now we're saying that. Like I said earlier, I think Reggie's in a real tough spot right now. But do you think once we get a little time away from it, do you think this run by the men's national team will be remembered for that final game against Belgium, or the run and everything that they did to kind of captivate the country for a little bit?
I think probably the dud at the end. I mean, because it's one thing to lose. It's another thing that the minute that you're faced with an uphill battle and playing a higher ranked team than you, boy, you just go out there and you look completely overwhelmed. And so I'll be honest with you. I think even the soccer folks, as they talk about in 4 years when the World Cup comes back around, when they talk about the Americans, it's going to be, yeah, man, they had a hot start last year, but boy, they really were overwhelmed when the more important the games got. Like, that's not going to die on the vine. That was such a piss poor performance that that's not going to die. Whether they're talking about the stars on the team and how they no showed, or the team overall and just how they looked overwhelmed, I don't think that's gonna be something that falls by the wayside. Every time they win a game in that round robin play, they're going to say, "Yeah, we've seen this before." Yeah, we've seen this before. Until they get to a big game, and now not only win, but appear to play their best football. I think it's going to be the story of the USA.
Wow, what a save right there! By the way, it is still going on. By the these games are insane. It seems like every last one of them, except for the United States and Belgium, are coming down to the wire. Right now, Switzerland and Colombia, they are in extra time, 103, going to 104, and a 0-0 game. The winner will face Argentina, who, Tyler, we were sitting there watching earlier. They got no business beating Egypt. Egypt's up 2-0 at the 67th minute, and then from that point on to minute 93, Argentina scored 3 goals to take the lead and get the win. Messi tying the game at the 84th minute. And then when they got to extra time, this is what it sounded like.
Lautaro Martinez sending it over. Enzo Fernandez. Can you believe this? Egypt are asking the question about something that happened at the other end. Argentina played on. And Enzo Fernandez has perhaps scored the goal that keeps the defending world champions alive. The complaints continue meanwhile.
Listen, I'm going to tell you what. I think during the game, obviously Messi was still going and trying to win. But after it was over, the XL and almost tears, like he thought it was over.
Yeah.
I think he thought it was over, and the look on their face is almost like, I can't believe we pulled this off. So it has been really great drama. The Mexico England match was great drama. Norway, that was great drama. Like it has been. France was great drama. I mean, this is the second time. Argentina, they are flirting with it with teams that they are favored with. Cape Verde. I was at the airport at Hobby at the Rustic, just having me a few, and I headed to that plane. I felt like I deserved it after doing 12 hours of radio.
Yeah, you did.
And that place was going crazy.
Appletini, please.
There was a cook or somebody at the back of that Rustic restaurant that was a huge Argentina fan because she was back there losing it. I think it was a she just screaming. But it has been crazy. All of them are coming down to the wire. But back to what you said, I hope that's not the case. I hope Tyler, in a month when this is kind of over, that we remember, man, it became a thing for a little bit.
Yeah,
it became a thing, and everybody was Team Flo. And now I think Pulisic, their best player, never really got it going, and that's kind of a disappointing thing. But I hope this thing is not remembered for just those 90 minutes. Somebody texted and said 100 attaboys can be overshadowed by one RS moment. And they
but that wasn't, again, I mean, let's this was not this was not, you know, CJ being overwhelmed when he's down some of his big guns and just having a crappy performance. This was going out in a big stage, in a big moment, and not being prepared. Being overwhelmed for the entire game. No adjustments, no star power, not even able to do the simple things well. I mean, it was look, maybe Belgium, their defense was so stout that they were able to keep the USA from doing their thing. Maybe it was. I don't know the game well enough. It sure looked to me like the United States made it really, really easy on Belgium to win that game. I mean, everything looked hard for the United States. Getting the ball down the field, ball between the hashes, it looked like they were getting blitzed. Get the ball on the sideline, everybody was double teamed. Just getting the ball to the middle of the field to where within striking distance of the goal was a challenge all day long. And I mean, to the point where the commentators are literally saying, "Hey man, kicking the ball around the perimeter is not gonna cut it. You're gonna try something else." I mean, like. That wasn't just a, "Hey man, my quarterback showed up and didn't play well." That wasn't a, "Hey, we showed up and man, two or three of our big guns were hurt." I mean, that was, "Hey man, you had everybody."
It was a meltdown.
It was an absolute meltdown as an organization as a whole. So this ain't no, "Boy, yeah, man, well, it was just a boy, that, gosh golly, man, we should have, we let that one slip." No, that was ugly across the board.
I did not have "gosh golly" on my bingo card.
I wanted to curse,
today.
But I didn't let it rip.
I don't know if that's
doggone like, it.
There's a Roy Williams, but I don't know that I've heard "gosh golly" from you. I think that's the first time I've heard that.
I'll be honest with you. I think
six
it's a,
plus years.
I think it's the first time I've ever said it in my life.
Good golly, Miss Molly.
Gosh golly, love it.
I would probably ridicule anybody else that said it.
Yeah, guys, I like it. I like it. All right,
I didn't like it, nerd.
Can the Texans?
You ain't wrong.
Can the Texans have a top 10 rushing attack if they don't have a top 25 running back? We'll discuss that.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. We've come to that time where Jeremy Fowler does his annual executives, talking to executives, coaches, scouts, and they rank the top 10 players at each position group. Then they also give others that were receiving votes and honorable mentions that many executive coaches, scouts look at these players and their rankings. And the running back one came out, Clint. And listen, I did not have any thoughts that the Texans would have anyone in the top 10. I wonder how many of you are surprised that David Montgomery did not make the top 20 of the listed names that the coaches and the scouts and the GMs, what they put out. How many of you would be surprised? Because it was nowhere to be found. Not 19, not 20, not 17, none of that. The top 10 was ones that make sense. Bijan Robinson, number one. Jahmyr Gibbs, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Jonathan Taylor, Derrick Henry, James Cook, A-Chain, Kenneth Walker, and Breece Hall. But then, you know, down the list, I wondered if you see it. I see Alvin Kamara comes on the list, and I wonder – all right, that seems to be potentially in the range of a David Montgomery. I feel like there's a gap between Travis Etienne and David Montgomery. I feel like there's a gap there between those two. They're different players. I just think Etienne can do more. Aston Genti is down there. But of the 20 names they have listed on there, of the top 10 honorable mention and others receiving votes, there is no David Montgomery there. And I'll be honest, Clint, I'm not surprised by that. I would not have been shocked if he were 2019 in this thing, if he were there where Alvin Kamara is. But I'm not shocked by it, because I do think with his age, I wonder how many question if he can be, you know, a legit number one back in the league.
Yeah.
At this point, at his age right now. Now, yeah. I don't know if the Texans are saying that's exactly what we want from him, but.
Yeah, look, I think David Montgomery, the Texans are going to try to sell him as a three down back. Obviously, you know, he's got the potential to be that, but it's not ideal. Being up there in age, he probably needs to take for somebody to take some of the load off of him, which hopefully Woody Marks can do that. I'm with you. I listen to that list and I'm like, maybe 19, 20-ish at best. Beyond the guys that I think you get into, okay, are there some backs out there that are in exotic systems that do some different things? I don't know that the downhill 3 yards in a cloud of dust type of back that's going to run between the tackles and get the hard yard. I don't know that guy is going to be real sexy for these kind of lists, right? I mean, I just don't know. I would have been shocked if he'd have been on the list. I mean, but you can take the top 10 off the table because those are just completely different level backs. And then you start getting into the even 10 through 20 is pretty damn good back. So I'm not shocked that he's not on that top 20 list, although I will give the respect of it. It wouldn't have surprised me if he was in that 19-20 range.
Yeah. It's just, like, I'll be honest. When I look at David Montgomery, I feel like you got a hell of a run game if he's the number two.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it feels better about him being – and I'm not saying your number one has to be Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, like maybe the right. best in the game. But you just feel like you've got a stronger – like, all right, that's a – when he's the lead, it does feel a little different when he is the lead back.
Well, you would think – I think where
at
you're –
at this
I
point
think
in
where,
his career.
Yeah, at this point in his career, I think where you're going with it – I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but for me, like, if he were the punisher, if he were the finisher –
yes.
Right, that would be okay. They got something they got to deal with. Instead, he's coming here to be number one and be a three down back. That's going to be a little tough to sell when you start talking about top 20 running back ranking.
That's why it's
because you look at that list. Love ain't even on there. Did you say Love? The kid
no,
got drafted
no,
this year at Notre Dame.
Yeah, they didn't put the rookie.
I mean,
on
hell,
there.
They got him. They got him and Jahmyr Gibbs in the same category.
I'd imagine he's going to probably be on that list next
right.
year.
Yeah, I mean, there's some. There's some cats, yeah. So I don't know. I'm with you. I think you need. I don't know of outside of Houston. I don't know that Woody Marks is the 1-2 punch that folks are looking for with David Johnson, David Montgomery. Ooh, well, that was bad. David Montgomery to really move the needle.
Yeah, he's got a like almost a Cam Scataboo feel to me. Like if we'll see, but Cam's the finisher and the punisher, and you want. You know, somebody else to ride with it. I think the other point is, now that you look at that and you think about David Montgomery, because I do think he is perfect for what the Texans are looking to
no
do
question.
And what they want.
No
the way
question.
They've built their offensive line, the way they've Foster Moreau adding him in, I think the physical punishing, yeah. I think they're good with 4 or 5 yards.
Yep.
I don't know that they – I'm not saying they don't want – big chunks or breakaways, but I think they're perfectly fine with that. And I just wonder, though, can this be a top 10, and we've talked about a top 10 level running game. And when I look at top 10, what I've looked at is most yards per game rushing from a team, whatever that comes from, running backs, quarterbacks, whatever. Can this be a top 10 rushing offense with Montgomery and Woody Marks as the 1-2 punch?
No chance.
And this offensive line, do you think no chance?
No chance. I don't think this offensive line is as bad as I guess some folks may think in terms of being the weakest link on the team. But I don't think they're improved enough to be a top 10 rush attack, especially per by yards per game. I don't think there's a chance in hell of that happening.
Yeah. And to me, the way that they seem to want to be as if they could be as effective as they want to offensively, like, to me, it feels like they have to have a top rushing
type of team. Yeah, here's the thing. With our defense, more times than not, now I don't think it's going to work in the playoffs, but more times than not, our defense is going to give you the opportunity to be ultra conservative and just commit to the run game and bludgeon folks, even if you're not scoring. Bludgeon folks, stay ahead of the chains, give yourself opportunities to sustain drives, and then in the fourth quarter, you've committed so much to the bludgeoning that maybe they're tired, and then you can move the football in the fourth quarter. I think the defense is going to give us the opportunity to do that. Now, whether we can win games that way when it matters versus good opponents is yet to be seen.
Yeah. We'll see. Somebody text in, that's wrong. He's definitely top 20. I don't think he's definitely top 20.
Yeah. I see the argument of late teens, but definitely top 20. No, I can't get there.
Yeah. But again, that does not mean he is not legit perfect for what the Texans want to do.
Oh, no.
What they're trying to accomplish,
and what they're trying to sell, absolutely, it's a good pickup.
Army Swiss knife.
Absolutely.
It makes sense. To me,
we'll see if it makes sense.
I think it makes at least the type of runner in addition that they want. I don't know if it's going to completely work, but it at least makes sense for if we want to be a team that is a physical run team that wants to add that S word that they like using, swarm, and we want to be that, then he makes a lot of sense that was out there.
Yeah.
It does. We'll see. We'll see what that looks like.
Are you David Montgomery, Wyatt Teller, and Braden Smith away from winning one last year?
In last year's field, maybe. Or at least getting to it. In last year's field.
Yeah, maybe.
They were about there last year. They were about there last year. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, coming up, T-Mill's best bets is, oh boy, tough Monday. I mean, a really tough Monday. But we'll walk past it. We'll turn the page on that as soon as we remind you of what happened on Monday. But we'll turn the page on that, and we'll get to T-Mill's best bets. That'll be coming up here a little bit as return. And we'll look at this situation. You just can't blame Mike for this. We'll give you the latest if you missed it, what's happened with Mike Burrows. His season with the Astros on their big club should be over. We'll let you know the latest of that coming up.
I'm Dana Carvey.
I'm David Spade.
Fly on the Wall's back for another season now on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
So many incredible guests will be joining us.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Too good to be true.
Next.
All right, H-Town. Today's picks are in. The choice is yours. Are you tailing?
Forget the myths. The media is created to just follow the money.
Or fading?
There is no nobility in poverty.
It's time for T-Mill's best bets on The Drive.
I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich.
All right, this was rough for Tyler. I mean, there's no other way we can look at it. I mean, every single player hit. Yesterday, by the way, this Switzerland-Colombia game has moved to penalty kicks, and the winner of this will face Argentina. Tyler picked the lone person who didn't swing the bat well. I mean, even the entire bottom of the lineup, Isak Paredes, couldn't get one and a half bases.
Literally, he won.
Then he was feeling. He got the. He drank the Kool-Aid U.S. with Belgium. He drank it.
I was so hyped for a fun-ass Monday night sports night with the World Cup and the Astros, and they both really thoroughly pissed me off.
Well, at least the Astros took care of one of them.
Yeah.
All right, so he was 0 for 3, and then Mets and Braves. He was 0 for 3. Let's see if he can get back on track. What's your best bets tonight? And remember, best bets, you can find them every night at Space City Sharp. Space City Sharp on Twitter. He I don't know how I've not just messed that up multiple times.
Nailed it every time.
But you can find those every single night. He'll have them listed. What are they tonight?
You are a pro. That's why you nail it every time.
Well, I can't say fresh fish very much.
Fresh. That's right. We got up the ante.
Don't beat yourself up.
I think you should. Just work on it. Practice. Up in the ante tonight. Yes. Well, can't argue with that. Y'all heard the big voice guy. He said, you tailing, you fading. It might be time to fade. You never know. But I got four MLB bets because we don't quit on this show, even if we do lose money. Scared money don't make money. First bet tonight is Old Faithful, big fella, Yordan. He's been destroying righties. He's facing a lefty to start tonight for the Nationals. But he does just as much damage against the lefties whenever their arm's on the same side of his bat. So take Yordan over 1.5 total bases.
This is getting serious. He's opening things up with Yordan 1.5 bases. Yeah. He's got to get back on track. This is serious.
Last couple times I went 0-3 on Monday. I just stayed with 3 Tuesday. We're going up to 4. So that's your first best bet, Yordan over 1.5 total bases. Second best bet tonight around baseball, Brewers at the Cardinals. Little NL Central rivalry action. I'm on the under in this one, under 8 runs. This is the second game of a doubleheader tonight for those two. And I told y'all about my rule. Now, it didn't work out last time when I told y'all about the doubleheader rule. But always bet the under on the second game of a doubleheader. So I'm on under 8 runs between the Brewers and Cardinals in game 2.
Just ignore it. Just say it every time. Don't talk about the last time it didn't work. By the way,
that's a good point.
Columbia just missed their second PK. So Switzerland is in control. And so is Seth Payne.
Swiss. Third best bet tonight, Pirates to win. Pirates money line. Pittsburgh is hosting the Atlanta Braves. And to be honest, the Braves have just been pissing me off lately because I was betting them a little bit and they wouldn't win anything. And Paul Skenes is on the mound for the Pirates tonight, who could very well be a future Houston Astro, maybe. That'd be fun. We could add him.
Yeah, I don't think so, but yeah. Could be a thought.
Then your fourth and final best bet around baseball very quickly. Another under, this time 9 runs. The Brewers-Cardinals was under 8 runs. I got the Phillies at the Reds tonight under 9 runs between Cincinnati and Philadelphia in that baseball game. Those are your four best bets.
Yeah, I don't want Jim to trade for Paul Skenes to not pay him. Jim, wow. I mean, some of these penalty kicks can just look so easy. That guy rifled it up. Switzerland up 2-1 in penalty kicks. It comes down, everything comes down to this. You just played 2 hours or whatever, and it comes down to penalty kicks. But those are his four best bets. You can find those at Space City Sharp every single night. See if Tyler can get back in the winning ways on a Tuesday. All right, before we get to Homer Mike, if you missed it, I did slide down to Memphis this weekend, and
Tennessee.
Memphis feels like a city that just says to themselves, "Man, we're gonna stay this size, folks."
Yeah, we're not gonna do any growing.
Well, we're just gonna stay right here, folks. That's what we're gonna do, man. We're gonna hold. I know people all across the city are really trying to, and it's a good city. Really trying to expand and grow up. But, nah, man, we're gonna chill right here. We're gonna chill right here, man. We're good on these roads. We'll keep these roads right here, man. We'll keep these potholes, man. We're going to do this thing.
It hasn't changed much. I spent some time over there. Not in the last handful of years, but I spent some time over there before. It doesn't change much.
It hasn't changed a ton since. Not a ton. There's some changes, but not a ton. But went to Bill Street, Tyler.
I'm unfamiliar.
Never been to Bill Street. Okay.
Never been to Memphis.
I want to get to might check it out a little bit.
Bill Street's solid.
Bill Street is a strong happening. Got over there.
You see them cats flipping up down the street?
Nah, we were there mostly during the day. We didn't get there at night.
What would you compare like a Bill Street to? Is it like a 6th Street? Is it like a Broadway in Nashville? Probably not as big.
No, it's
I'm trying to think of
Reno.
I mean, it's got a, like, the jazz vibe is very, like, country music Nashville, yeah, the jazz to, Memphis. You, it's yeah. not near as big, but it's got that New Orleans Bourbon Street.
That's
you know where you're at. Bill Street is jazz. You know exactly where you're at when that's going on.
It's a little darker than Broadway.
Don't they put him
well,
on the
Yeah, we talked about this last week. I mean, I'd say one's on one end of the spectrum, the other's on the other. Yeah, I mean, even though Nashville has changed quite a bit, but I still think
Yeah, but that's like if you go down Broadway, you go down Bill, it's just a it's a different, but a bunch of bars and restaurants, and this thing is getting serious. Wow, what a save. A bunch of bars and restaurants and clubs and stuff like that, like jazz clubs and everything. But man, we rode through Clint, Tyler, to a Wet Willie's.
Gotcha.
Sounds like a spot.
Would they have a wall of them frozens for you?
Wet Willie's, world's greatest daiquiris, and I thought I'd give it a shot. I'd like to.
Appletini, please.
By the way, I think Lauren is hooked on them. I think Lauren is into frozen drinks.
I'm not sure that's a good pairing.
They had naked ones. They had a few non-alcoholic. I went down there, and you ain't lying, but they had a wall of them. And I'm sitting there, man. You walk in, they got a Sex on the Beach. They got a white Russian. They just had it all. And I'm sitting there trying to figure out which way to go with. So I just got me a little mix of strawberry, green apple. Didn't do too much. I like those flavors, but I could have gone back. Lauren wanted to go back. We just didn't make our way back. But
y'all was in the city then, huh?
Yeah, we were in the city. Yeah, but yeah, that Wet Willie's. You can't just – I mean, you going to go Wet Willie's and then call yourself the world's greatest daiquiris? Yeah. I've got to go check you out.
Well, I'm glad you found that, man.
Yeah, man.
Did it live up to it, you think?
It always does. Five drinks in, man. Five sips in.
Hey, options and quantity.
That was the tough part. Just sit back like
– What'd you go with?
I told you. I said that little strawberry. Sorry, green apple. I should have gone through more and tasted.
Should have. I mean, that is your identity.
They had a wall of deliciousness. I'd like to go back. We are now 3-3 with penalty kicks.
I bet your mouth was so wet.
And this is it right here. It is. I'm thinking about it right now. I can see the wall. I think I've got the order in my head right now that I studied it. Right now, by the way, Switzerland, Colombia. If Switzerland makes this last penalty kick, they will move on. And I think this will be almost like I would think an upset. Switzerland, if they're able, they've been up there talking trash. That's what a funny thing is these goalies and these guys, they be walking up there talking trash like they're on the free throw line.
Our goalie sure as hell better not have been talking any trash.
Man, he's out there just
this is kind of like the Rockets after watching the Spurs and OKC or the Spurs and the Knicks. I mean, after watching our group, like our guy wouldn't stand a chance. And at least that one of these, not that one, I think the other one, the one in the black outfit, he's got it figured out.
Yeah, he's got him a nice save. They knock this. They will face Messi and Argentina, and they will. Switzerland moves on. They win the penalty kicks easily. That young man who missed that penalty kick earlier is going to have a hard time living with himself. Switzerland moves on.
He had it right. He just kicked it too high off the crossbar.
The final eight has been decided, and Switzerland getting the last spot in the quarterfinals. They will face Messi and Messi, the miracle that they had against Egypt. They will face them coming up later on this week. So it's set. The final eight is set. Coming up behind us, Texans All Access, Mark Vandermeer, John Harris. Shout out to my man, both of those guys who were helpful with the radiothon, and John Harris sitting down for an hour with us. John Harris also ranking his top five black movies. Number five is one that caught me completely off guard.
They're doing this on All Access?
No, they're not doing this on All Access. They did it. He did it on the radiothon.
Friday.
Yeah. Number one, Boomerang. Number two, Boys in the Hood. Solid 1-2 punch. Can't argue with that. Number three, Coming to America. Number four, Drumline. And then number five, I was not prepared for Stomp the Yard. That was one that I was not prepared for. I did not know
Drumline's a sneaky good one.
Coming with Columbus short-lived cast in that thing. But shout out to him. But they've got Blake Fisher. He will join the show. So stay tuned for that. And Kalen Bullock. They will talk about the most underrated Texans player heading into 2026. I don't think Kalen is that anymore. Area 45 after that as well. So stay tuned as we are live and local till 11 o'clock. Good to be back in the saddle again. Clint, great job. Tyler, great job. Tyler. Sorry, Swift's on my mind. Tyler, great job. I am Ron, the show as always, Houston. We love you, baby. I think it is the dumbest thing that we talk about.
He's the MJ of eating wieners.
He is, but I'm just like...
Gretzky, the Tiger Woods of Glizzy Goblin.
He's all of it. Like...
The Pele of sausage swallowing.
Nah, that's a good one, the last one.
Damn sure gets attention.
He's a Dale Earnhardt and Richard Petty.
You don't have it.
I don't have another one. I didn't have more wiener analogies.
Yeah, you didn't have...
Wonder if he prefers his wieners boiled or like grilled or what.
Coming I would love to taste the Nathan's hot dog. They look very plump, crispy. Never had it.
Never been much of a hot dog guy.
Suck a beer through a wiener?
Brought to you by...
Tyler Miller, you are the greatest producer in the world.
Hey, Clavis, wake up. The show's over.
Oh, yeah, kick it.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hanses and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.